Welcome to Empowering Hour with Empaths. I'm your host, Yvonne Perry, a metaphysical author, coach, and light language activator, offering assistance to those who are going through significant spiritual changes. I've written several books, including Whose Stuff Is This? Finding Freedom from the Thoughts, Feelings, and Energy of Those Around You. My latest book is Light Language Emerging, Activating Ascension Codes to Integrate Body, Soul, and Spirit. You'll find my books, information about coaching, and learn about galactic light language readings and other spiritual services that I offer at weareoneinspirit.com. You will have a chance to ask questions and give some input during this call. If you're connected via the telephone, you may press star 2 at any time to raise your hand and we'll call on you to speak. If you're connected to the session via the internet, simply type your question in the box that you see on your screen. Welcome, everyone, and welcome my co-host, Veronica O'Grady, a natural-born visionary healer who has experienced and facilitated thousands of visionary and healing experiences, shamanic initiations, and master-level life-changing transformation. She's trained by shaman and master healers and uses her gifts in private healing sessions and while leading workshops to bring deep healing and balance. You'll find Veronica at Quantum Alchemy Healing.com. Welcome, Veronica.
Thank you, Yvonne. It's wonderful to be here with you. Can't wait for this day.
Well, here we are in the middle of the holidays, and I'm thinking I'm going to put out a few tweets and some Facebook posts about, and maybe even in the newsletter, about our show that we did a year ago, prescription for the holiday, for empaths during the holidays. So that might be a good one for us to kind of touch on. And send that back out. But we got a bunch of questions today. I've got a lot of people on the call already, and we want to make time to get to everything and everybody's questions. I guess let's start with low energy and emotion. Andrea has a question about imbalances and blockages that she's feeling in her body. The body and the emotions, of course, being very much related to the thoughts that we have in our minds. And those belief systems that are sometimes we're not even aware of that are held in our subconscious. What do you have to say, Veronica, about low energy and emotions, especially this time of the year?
Oh, well, the triggers, you know, we're all going through right now, as it is anyway, even before the holidays, all the changes that we're feeling on the planet, in our society, in the world. And add to that all the familial things, all the family gatherings and holidays and the emotions. When we're stuffing down hurt, I always think of it like a science beaker. When we push down hurt goes to the bottom. And we use so much energy to push that stuff down, and it can sometimes come up as anger or depression. So to me, that's usually a clue when we're feeling more depressed, we're actually using more energy because the trigger has made the hurt start to come up and to be healed, you know, to be seen. Or because we see our families or friends and, you know, other people again that we only see often this time of year. As the hurt comes up, it takes more energy if a person's not ready or willing to process it, heal it, or they don't know how to, one of the symptoms of something coming up to heal is depression and low energy and, you know, not really feeling connected. So it's just a season.
Yeah, and you know, empaths, we feel so much that during this time of the holidays, people are reminded about loved ones who are no longer with them, and that kind of brings up some sadness. And then there's also the tension and trying to do the shopping thing and, getting it all done, and you know who's getting what, and just a lot of tension about that. So we pick up on that, and you know some great ways to transmute that, of course, is meditation, visualization, putting that field of light around you, and you're putting yourself in the bubble. I've also found that chanting or drumming really helps me to keep my field clear. I can just be having the worst day and feel like I can't even drag myself from the kitchen to the living room to pick up my drum. But as soon as I do, and I start drumming, it's amazing how much that lifts my spirit. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the vibration of it. Have you had that experience? Or is there something that you use that pretty much you can count on to raise your vibration?
Oh, sure. Like when you're saying the drumming, absolutely. That's amazing. But singing and chanting and humming, in the humming, we reconnect to source. It's like everything is sound, everything, it's all music. And as we, shamanically, the drum, we would open up a space with a drum to send out a call. It's basically a very general, big, wide, open call to the universe saying, hello, come here, come assist us, you know, help us connect with our own life. Where the rattle is a very specific, more like a surgical tool with intense focus. It's like a laser. So the drum, when we're drumming, not only are we connecting and aligning with the heartbeat of the rhythms of the earth and the rhythms of our heartbeat in our body, but all those vibrations of drumming and singing cleanse us. And, you know, they just literally ripple out. All the stuff lifts, drops away, dissipates, however you visualize it and feel it. But it is, I don't know, you know, I'm so grateful that I have a voice to be able to hum, sing, chant, make sounds that sound like who knows what. And and the energy that we open to when we do that and that gets piggybacked coming back into us, it just makes you giggle, doesn't it? Like when you're done, it's like, okay, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long.
The more you do it, the less time it takes. It's almost like you create a pattern for it. And you were talking about rattles being different. Rattles for me tend to clear my field. I would just shake them all around my body, almost like using sage to smudge yourself. I would just use that rattle or some, I have like some little jingle bells, shake that around, and I can immediately just feel this little tingling going all through my body, my vibration raising. So that's one way that I protect my field. You know, I don't always now visualize before going out having my bubble around me. It's more like I see my light being within me so strong that if I go out, I'm just going to radiate out to help others. And, you know, if you encounter something from someone, just acknowledge that they are having pain and you know, maybe just send them a beam of light. That doesn't really take any of our energy because, you know, the light is everywhere. So we're just calling upon the light and directing that energy towards someone who maybe is causing a ripple in the field around you because they are dealing with some certain pain. It could be, you know, like we talked about depression or the stress around the holiday. So just, you know, I encourage you to pick up a drum, a rattle, or start making a joyful noise.
Or dance barefoot outside. Stand on the earth.
Get out there in the earth. That also helps. Definitely. Or just holding a crystal. And I think it's practice that brings the effectiveness of it. You may not feel so much the first time, but I can vouch for the longevity of it. If you will keep at it, it will definitely start doing its magic. It's like you call the invocation, you're calling out for help, you're clearing your field, raising your vibration, you start feeling better, and then you find that it's easier to maintain and hold that vibration.
And like you said, a joyful noise. It doesn't have to be a solemn, somber, oh, I must meditate to move through this. It's like, go dance, laugh, and sing as much as possible, and that will shift it as well.
Laughter is good medicine.
Make yourself laugh. It's the best teaching is laughter.
Well, we're talking about being around family this time of year. One person had a question about karma and parts of the ancestor karma. She feels like that may be creating some negative stuff within her and her family. What can you say about energetic patterns or karma that are coming up for healing in family or ancestral line?
Oh, well, that was such a wonderful question. And you know how I always say it's all music. And we are part of if you think of the DNA as a long frequency going through what we call time and space, from one soul to another, there's a parameter of a soul family. You know, your physical lineage, actually, more so than the soul family, of your parents, grandparents, and on back, on mother's side and father's side. So if you consider that, perhaps you're standing as the bridge between, you know, future and past, when we're all music in our own sphere or own bubble, when we heal something, and that means to balance the frequency, the discord gets harmonized. So we're like tuning a grand piano, the most fine, most subtle grand piano. And as we heal, I call it the emotional genetics that are passed on to us as discordant music from our lineage. And as we heal that, it does pulse backwards and forward in time. Whatever we do, our children won't have to do. Even if they're grown and have their own children, it ripples forward through time and backward through time because mm-hmm. it's all of the same kind of frequency and imbalance. And so as we do the work, the chain breakers, I call many of us, especially empaths, are the chain breakers of this generation to mm-hmm. stop a lot of that imbalance, discord, and the pain that gets created. So the music, as we pulse out, it's like the tuning fork, as we pulse it out, all the other tuning forks tune to it. Anything that's being a tuning fork that's off a little bit in its pitch, when a true, like a C note or a C whatever tuning fork, when a true C is introduced, the other one that's discordant automatically writes itself.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it literally is a quantum pulse. It's a quantum collapse of discord and the emergence of its true essence, the wholeness of it, goes all through time and space. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that I have learned, talking about the frequency and the wave frequency, there have been times when I have just felt really discordant anger or some energy that I'm going, wait a minute, this is not mine. Mm-hmm. And I would just start clapping my hands. Real hard and real fast, and it would break up that sound wave, break it down, and shift things amazingly. And this is something you can do in the bathroom at the Thanksgiving gathering,
yeah.
Christmas gathering, without anybody really thinking anything weird of it. You could just like almost like be calling for the dog or something.
Shaking off the water off.
Shift something real quick. Yeah, shift something real quick. So
Wetting the hands, like when you're just sitting in the bathroom, uh-huh. wetting the hands, people can do this at work and, again, wherever they are, or washing dishes at the family meal. But when you wet your hands and spray water up into your aura, your energy field, water will literally break a connection. Especially if you have an intent or a focus to stop the, like, feeling like you're being dragged down into someone's drama or your own past trauma. Just spraying your energy field very subtly. No one has to even notice. Like going into the bathroom, swish, 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 you sprinkle it up all around your field behind you, down below your feet if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
all these little tools help so much.
Very simple but effective things. And I've noticed that things that I have cleared for myself, some pains that I have cleared, have had an effect on my family, like you're talking about, forward and backward in time. And even though you may or may not see change in that person, you may, in the living relative, you can trust that there's a change being made on the soul level. And this is giving a special grace or an offering of opportunity and help. It's like calling in angels or helpers for the ones who are ready to also shift that energetic pattern, whether it's addiction or whatever. It's like you get the tools, you get the codes or some sort of a special ability then because you have gone through that to recognize someone else's pain and to help them transmute it.
Yeah, and this could be even someone, a total stranger. There's a saying that the way I was shown is like once you've been through the town, you recognize the signs. And so once you've gone down that journey, I always think of Merlin. So it's like once you've been through the journey or the terrain of healing a certain trauma or issue or even a belief, maybe getting deeper wisdom on a belief. But once you've healed something, you understand all the finer signals, and the triggers as well and can wisely guide anyone. And again, it could be a moment at a grocery store or at the streetlight, where something, a little nod to someone with the energy of all that in your own eyes, beaming out the emanations through the eyes and just holding the space for a total stranger. It's like mm-hmm. offering a great song or great music that shows them the path or at least gives them the pulse of, the feel. And if their soul turns to that and wants it, it's easier for it to come in. So the more we emanate without you know, taking away from our energy, but just being the light that we are and knowing, and, you know, after using the bubble, when you said before, there's a point where after you really work the bubble enough, a long time in your life, it is second nature, you know. Mm-hmm. So we can emanate and beam and be, you know, a lot more, feeling a lot more stable and safe in our own energy.
Right. It is a journey. And I think what we're doing a lot of times when we heal these ancestral lines is that we're rewriting codes and experiences in the Akashic Library so that they're not passed down to the next generation. We're actually like going back in time and saying, let's write a different story here. This one had abuse. This one had molestation. Let's go back in time and just trust spirit, maybe use some of your light language or drumming or whatever, and just envision a different outcome for that person, as if they had never experienced that, and see them. What would they be like if they had not had that experience? You'll be amazed at how powerful your imagination and your intention can be. Have you had any experience, Veronica, in working with the Akashic Records?
Oh, sure, sure. And that to me is, our friend, Amor Luz, is going to do an Akashic reading with me, and right. she said you already basically do it, you know, and when my introduction to the Akashic was coming into a space that had, it was kind of like a Harry Potter scene way before Harry Potter came around, where it was just it was a roundish kind of room that went vertical so far that I couldn't see the top of it. But ornate, like, drawers kind of thing that had scrolls. And, you know, that's the symbology that I was shown. But each name, each soul is a specific vibration. It's a specific set of codes and tones and all of that, our signature soul mm-hmm. sound. And
right.
So when and then we have the genetic lineage where we are all connected by these wonderful fine threads that in the illuminated aspect give us force of light, but in the shadow or discordant or wounded aspect drag us down. So it's the going back and forth through time. The Akashic to me is not a physical place. It is a type of energy that it's our soul's energy. It's the library of everything that our soul, not just in this lifetime, has ever experienced with every other soul. The enormity is immense. Mm-hmm. So that when we pulse out a healed or now tuned in or tuned vibration, it ripples out in a sphere. So it's not just linear in our own DNA. It's anyone who has a similar issue, it also helps them as well. It like takes off the edges. And so the more each of us do this work, the easier it becomes for those who follow, you know, that do this after to actually do.
Good. Yeah, I can see that rippling effect. It's like an unwinding a knot in some yarn. You pick right here and undo. And the next thing you know, you start to pull the thread and something way down the line starts following and pulling up behind it. You know, you see the yarn coming toward you, and it's bringing up another knot. So you just keep picking and unweaving and undoing and re-scripting. That's all you're doing when you're unwinding that ball of yarn out of its knotted state. You're pulling the kinks out of it and then winding it up around a core of some sort to roll it into a ball. So now that it is more usable, it's easier to store, it's easier to work with. So kind of like the Akashic Records and rewriting that with your scripting of your imagination and intent can have that effect in family lines as well. Now, I'm thinking there might be somebody else on the call that we should hear from on any of the stuff that we've touched on so far. So if you are on the phone, *2 raises your hand and we can call on you to speak. And if you are on the webinar, type in your question. I bet we have a couple. Leanne is an empath, and one of her biggest hurdles is not taking on others' negative energy. She protects herself with white light, but still feels the effects of other stuff. Okay, I think we touched on that a good bit. The empath is going to feel other stuff. We don't have to engage in
trying to fix things for them. We can let them have their experience at the same time, allowing ourselves to just send them that beam of light energy. Just, I recognize your pain. You know, maybe you say that inwardly. You might not want to say that to them outwardly because then they might challenge you. But it's a matter of just recognizing, oh, they're vibrating this negativity because something in them is wounded and it's hurting them. And they're calling out for help. And so if all you can do in that moment is just send them an energy ball of light or a beam of light, a love, and hold that vibration for them. You don't have to take it on for them. You can just let the light and let spirit and love do the work for you.
And that's the anonymous gifting of, you know, what empaths, you know, empaths can literally, truly literally change the world. When we do the anonymous gifting of coming from the place of our energy as whole and total in its sphere, you know, golden light may also, just as a side note, when people do the white light, the way I've been taught was that it's kind of like a big red arrow over your head that says newbie, you know, energetic newbie, a big, you know, like white light, even though it's the pure heart of the creator energy. When people often visualize it, they have a certain tone to it that adding gold, like golden glitter, just around the edge of your bubble is enough to change how they feel, like to make their energy feel more stable and less vulnerable. Or any of the colors or elements, you can add, you know, silty crystal powder or get the periodic table of elements. And see what is it, like boron or who knows what, chromium, something can light up, whether it could be a vitamin, a nutrient, a crystal, a mineral, anything, a gas. And you can put that around the bubble. And your imagination connects with the frequency. It doesn't have to know all the chemical makeups of anything. It has the intention of connecting with the consciousness of this thing, whether it's metal or stone or anything. You know, so we can use the bubbles to protect us, and from that space, you know, offering that light. You know, when we all focus, if we all did a group focus like what they did in Washington D.C., where they focused on peace, it was a one-day focus, and the crime rate dropped. The police were even awed by it because all the energy was focused on one specific thing. So, you know, we can affect other people without harming, without invading their personal space or free will and all that kind of stuff. And if they feel
just
alive,
holding the vibration. Just holding the vibration. That's beautiful. So we have someone in Middletown, Connecticut that has their hand up. Let's see what they have. Middletown, you're on.
Okay. This is Dina. How are you?
Hi, Dina.
Hi, Dina. I'm really interested in this family, you know, all this connection with our families and ancestors and all the stuff that's happening that connected us. And I'm really struggling with loss. And my family, not all of them is deceased, but it's actually been crumbling. And, you know, all the older ancestors, the strong. I have a very strong Italian background and pretty much 100%, and it's like the old ones have died off, and even most recently my mom, and I'm feeling very torn to leaving the actual area where my family settled here, you know, I don't know how many years ago, when they came over, and I was always inclined to stay here as long as I could, but after my mom passed, the immediate family has kind of been broken up, and it's like I feel the need to go away, be with just my son. I only had one son, and it seems as though the rest of my family, the extended family, doesn't really understand this. We're very family-oriented, you know, but however, my immediate family and is being... It's just so torn apart. It just feels like it's disintegrated, actually, in reality. And I'm no longer feeling like I want to be around the rest. And I don't understand. And I don't understand how. I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, my mom that passed. Maybe it's just, you know, sometimes I keep thinking maybe she's pushing me to get to, closer to my son to have a connection, because once I'm gone, my son has no connection to this family. And just trying to figure out how to deal with the rest of this family when they have no idea, they don't understand, they're not very spiritual, you know, they're all about traditions. And I am traditional too.
Yeah. Family has a lot of expectations, and they don't always hold your best interest at heart. They are tied to rules and traditions and the way it should be and the way you should act. And when you can break away from that and really discern for yourself what it is that your soul needs and what makes you happy and move into that, you will find a new place of joy. Likely when your mom passed, whatever energetic vibration she was using to hold that family together has also weakened because she's no longer holding that field for the family. And you also, there's a little exercise that you can do whenever you're making a decision. Of course, you can use muscle testing or pendulum, but I found one that's very, very effective, and it is for you to just notice in your body how you feel when you are entertaining moving and being closer to your son. And notice what shifts in your body and what you feel. How does that feel? And then feel staying with your family. And how does that feel? Since we empaths are so sensitive and we use our bodies to get so many messages, is it not wisdom then to ask our bodies to partner with us in helping us make these kinds of decisions?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's like,
go ahead,
it's like being in the hub of the wheel. Like when you're saying that, Yvonne, a visual can be sitting in your center, and it could be wherever you are. You got a traffic light, but in your imagination, it's like a spoke on a wheel. You're sitting in the center and looking out towards the rim, and extrapolating the energy out, and again just feeling it that way. But sometimes just and then turning to the next spoke, and then turning to the next spoke, and gauge your body's response, because we can go through time and space. There is something that came up, you know, with that is, you know, when families change, my mom is the last survivor of 14. She was number 13 out of 14, and so she's the matriarch at 84 years old, about to be 85, of an entire lineage. And, you know, so, and we have hundreds in our family, and we've done group emails. My sister holds the anchor and sends out a monthly email of birthdays and anniversaries, and it's really detailed and wonderful. So that's an idea, you know, like if you want to just stay connected, you know, sometimes like a little monthly, hi, everybody, here's what's going on, these little tiny gentle pulses of, you know, I want to stay connected. You may not feel very connected with them, but you want to for your son's sake. One of the things that I found, I raised my daughter as a single mom, and my entire family is up in New York, and we just couldn't afford to go up there very much. And even though there's hundreds of us, literally, she feels very alone. And so had I gone, this is one of the things that you look back on, she's 19 now, had I gone even just once a year to connect, even if it was uncomfortable, What that does is it can build a psyche strengthening support mechanism for your child. So moving to a place that feels more in tune with you, because the earth is changing, we're all changing, we are in a new time. You know, last month was already like 10 years ago energetically. So moving to a place that strengthens you as a mother and you feel will strengthen your son as well is really, really important right now. Trust your instincts and having the option as well of staying connected once a year is all a child usually needs to look back on through time and feel connected to their family. And even with all the mess that it can be.
I didn't mention he's an adult. He just got over cancer, so this is part of the reason he's child, but he is, because he's my child, but, so that's,
how old is he?
He's 30, but
he's
still my, so I'm still finding, you know, he's mentioned how disconnected he's had to be since my divorce and since he moved away, and now all of a sudden, since his cancer, he realized how important family really is, but he also, you know, that was what drove me to think, you know what, I need to spend more of my time. I need to go where my son is. Just because he left our family doesn't mean that, you know, I have to stay up here with the family now either. That's
right,
where I'm going.
Right.
And then
right.
you can go back and visit, you know, when you want to.
Yeah.
You know, do
exactly.
your joy. And that's the bottom line. Do your joy. What does your heart call you to do? Go do it. And it doesn't mean you don't love your family. I love my family. There's, you know, we're a bunch of big, you know, Irish Catholic, crazy,
yeah.
great, amazing people. And I love my family. I don't feel that being in New York is in my highest good right now. And hasn't
right.
been, but I could still go back and visit. So
right, and that, and that's really how I feel. And I feel like I've spoke to Mom, written letters to her, and having so much grief. And she keeps telling me, you know, she keeps sending me to my son. You know, the three of us had such a deep connection, the three of us, and
yeah.
she was very connected to him. And I keep getting this thing that, you know, she's like, it's okay, go to your son, you know. I just keep
mm-hmm.
getting that message from her, you know, you're
yeah.
going to feel better when you're with him. It's just such a very difficult, you know, change to make when you've been, you know, I moved back to Connecticut from upstate New York with my first husband. I moved back when I got divorced for my mom, and then my mom passed away, you know, years later. So it was like, wow. Now it's my mm-hmm. turn. Do I need to go again, you know? Do I need to just keep moving? I feel like a chameleon. I just keep, or a gypsy.
But it's okay to change. Life changes.
Fine.
Change
yeah.
is mental. My sister, when her husband passed on, my sister Ellen Jane, sold her house and moved to North Carolina to be with her son and his family. And,
yeah.
you know, we knew nobody there. And that's a different kind of courage to do that, and a deeper kind of trust and faith. And
definitely.
If your heart is being drawn to it and you're feeling called to it, it brings good. You know, it brings balance and joy and wholeness. And that's the focus of our living.
Mm-hmm.
And,
trust
you know, it is always going back to visit whenever you feel called to. It's very
right.
soft and gentle. So there's a soft gentleness to the multitude of options. And like Yvonne was saying, looking at different options. You know, maybe come back once a year to visit or during a certain
yeah.
holiday time, you know, things like that.
I've already thought of that. I already decided if I go, I have to come back, you know. My husband is throwing a real twist into it, though, because he doesn't want to go. So it's like I'm going to be creating more loss here. But I've already talked about him on another call, so. But I really appreciate this, and I'm just going to keep asking myself, and I really feel like this is what I need to do. I just have to allow, you know, the rest of the puzzle and the rest of the people in my life to just settle down and, you know, turn up.
And you
can
ask
try not to.
You can ask for the opening mm-hmm. to show itself, you know, where you can send out a ripple to the universe, a drum, a song, a voice, a prayer, whether you have sound to it or not, of show me, like that movie, Show Me the Money. Show me the opening that will help me know
yeah,
one way or another, and my husband and my
yeah.
family, if this feels the most whole to you, show us the opportunity where that would actually happen or not happen, and let go of it, you know, to the great let go, not to be attached, but to observe where the energy emerges, like where the light emerges. If moving feels like it's getting more shadowy and dark, and these things, there's phases and cycles, so to observe for a little while the pulses of light and the pulses of where you feel really great, and
right.
then ask to be shown on a very physical, without a doubt kind of level, you know, soon. You can even give a time frame in your psyche as you, it's like a DJ request to the universe. I need to know, or I want to know by the end of the month or 3 months.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
So that
yeah.
you and your husband feel either aligned with moving or not aligned. So it becomes very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have to be more clear then, because I just keep saying, show me signs, you know. But this is better if I say, I need to know by the end of the year or some, you know, certain date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The universe
Absolutely.
Conspires in the fever.
Thanks,
thank
Dina.
You.
I appreciate that. And thank you, Veronica, for helping her with that.
Yeah.
We've got another one. Dana was talking about her mom helping her from beyond the grave, so... another person brought in a question about a friend whose husband died after 10 months of being ill, and she is angry that he hasn't contacted her in from the grave in any way that she can perceive it. So she was wondering if her anger was what was keeping her from getting a sign or a message or some type of visit from her deceased husband. And I want Veronica to answer that. And then I want also to open the line for someone here in Nashville who has a Cummings address or name ID on the ID here on the board. So Veronica, touch a little bit on the perception of someone contacting from beyond the grave, and then we'll go to our Nashville friend.
Well, there's it's a very interesting dynamic. We want the ones that we know that life is eternal. We know our souls are infinite. We know that in our mind. We know that in our work. And we've had many experiences, like Dina was saying, being contacted by her mom where she feels that connection. Not everybody has advanced in their evolution, in their light, to, and you know, where they've dropped the density or have the skills. It's like expecting someone to play the piano all of a sudden when they've never really done that work beforehand. So there's a couple of things. That soul, one, may be truly in their own process. Each soul has its own journey, and there are, even after we pass on, we still have many, many, many experiences on another level. They may be truly, you know, one, either unable to connect. That doesn't mean they don't love them, you know, or want to. They just may not be able to have the tools to make the bridge. It is an energetic bridge to go from such a subtle level of the soul energy to this physical senses, to these physical senses that we have. We have our eyes, our ears, our inner knowing. And depending on how well-developed we are in that and how fine-tuned, subtle we can pick up, you know, the more subtle energies, that's one thing, and whether that soul can project it and come back to this level. The other thing is, if we're angry and have a dense emotion or low vibrational discordant emotion, which, you know, we all have at times, but if every time this person is looking at their spouse who's passed on in their own inner vision and they feel angry or sad or lost or despondent, then that's the kind of bridge that gets built. So one of the things that can help, it's like sitting in a flower garden of the most beautiful, fragrant flowers and being angry. And the flowers are emanating these beautiful songs and music and smells and everything, but our anger creates like a static around our bubble, and that stuff can't get through. So there's a couple of different facets to this. It's one, the soul may not be able to come through, one, or the soul has other stuff to do first and then come later. Two, it's, you know, our ability to turn into and tune into the most subtle frequencies that are coming towards us. But three, our own emotions can be blocking that bridge. You can't cross the bridge if there's static all through it or there's a disconnect. So every time this person is looking at their spouse, holding the space of, I know you will if and when you can, and I can hardly wait, that actually lays in light lines for the bridge to be easier for that soul to cross, come back this way if they can. So it's, I know you will if and when you can. I'm open. I can hardly wait. And hold, as a friend said, it's like inviting a friend to dinner on a Monday for a Friday dinner and looking forward to them coming, knowing at some point they will be there. So you do all the preparation. So every time she's focusing on her spouse, having that excitement and anticipation and joy, you know, whether it's this lifetime or not, that's the great let go part of it too. So there's many different aspects to something like that.
Sure. Great answer, Veronica. Thank you. So it's both ways.
Yeah.
Okay, well, somebody here in Nashville has their hand up. I'm just going to open the line. Go ahead.
Hey, Yvonne, this is Josh. I called from work, so that's why you get the weird ID.
Oh, okay. Hi, Josh. Good to have you on the call today.
Yeah, so one thing that I was wanting a little more information on was kind of how you mentioned that you, like, I know the work that you and I did healed the past for me, and I see the changes. However, you mentioned healing the past for others, and the reason why I ask about that is because my grandma has been sick here and there all the time, different complications of different things over the years. And about a week or two ago, she got sick, and she ended up being in the hospital for 4 days. So my grandpa was with her, and they've had a really rough time, and I wasn't going to go see them. But then my guides just said, you have to go. There's no choice. Your energy has to be there. So I took a four-day weekend, and I went to be with them. And the healing that I saw with her and the emotional healing from my grandpa as well, just being – everybody was uplifted. When I got there, it was like the most somber, unwelcoming, unhappy place. By the time I left, they were in a fantastic mood. Everybody was happy.
Oh,
everybody was smiling. She was up and walking, and I was like – I got in my car. I said, guides, thank you. My energy was
lifted. Oh,
wow. I had to be there. I'm like, I did it because you guys told me I wasn't going to. But and then they called me like four or five times since I left yesterday morning to say thank you for being here.
Wow.
We are so happy you came. We feel wonderful now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can kind of see all these health complications and issues that she's had stem from whenever she started smoking a long, long time ago. And then she stopped about 10 years ago. But that 40 years or however long the smoking was has led to every one of these health issues. So I know you mentioned healing the past. So what is a way to kind of meditate, focus, or do something to try to heal that somewhat, to try to help her currently?
Well, what I'm sensing is what reason did she start smoking, and what reason would she now want to manifest illnesses? Is she looking for her exit? Is she depressed, trying to find something to fill the void? Maybe you could focus some love and light on the root issue, even if you don't know what the root cause is.
I know what it is.
Than focus on healing. Instead of focus on healing a broken finger, focus on what caused that person not to be aware that they were putting themselves in a place where the finger could get broke. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, so the stem of all that was her abusive first husband, so my grandpa, who I never knew.
Okay, so she was medicating then to cover a deep wound within her heart. So maybe what you would focus on then is sending energy to the root cause, her loneliness, the betrayal she felt, or whatever whatever loss or grief that she went through in that, that maybe has never been healed.
Okay, that's very good. I didn't think of it like that. I kind of looked at it as the single smoking thing, but that makes a lot more sense because that is the catalyst that started everything.
Because every choice that we make is either to heal ourselves or to run from it. And sometimes when we run from it, we look for anything that can help us numb that pain or distract us from having to really look within ourselves for what gift is this giving me? Even though it hurts like hell right now, what can I find in this that is good for my soul that can help me move forward? Or else this is just too much to bear. I can't take it. I'm going to start drinking or doing drugs or whatever so that I don't have to handle this pain. So all of it is about choices. And it helps for us to be able to reach out to one another like we're doing on these calls, and for us to have a community and a network so that if we're going through a hard time, we have somebody we can turn to who can help us to maybe have a different perspective on the whole issue. And that can be like the breath of fresh air that changes everything. Like you walking into that hospital room and your vibration and your love and your light being so bright that it shifted everyone there. Everyone there was touched and benefited just by your being there, the vibration that you carry.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Because you're holding joy, and her root cause is the grief and the loss that she felt so many years ago that she's still carrying. So coming in and shifting that allowed whatever field she was holding or your grandfather was holding in that place, you came in and shifted the whole field.
Okay, yeah, I know, because it was sadness, upset, and it was just going back and forth between each of them. He was upset because she was upset, and then she wasn't feeling good. Then it was causing some issues that were pushing him and making life frustrating for him, and then I kind of come in as the, all right, I'm going to try to settle this down, and you guys need to get better. This isn't going to work anymore. No, we have to be happy and be positive about things. And try to bring in a breath of fresh air, try to bring, kind of change the mood to things, and it worked.
Yeah.
So if I can focus on the root cause of why she turned to that in the first place and try to heal that emotional damage.
Yeah, just send some love and light there, because that can help her shift her energetics around that.
And to just start holding, it's like Veronica was talking about that tuning fork. You came in and you said, oh, let's don't tune up to this D for doom. Let's come in here and tune up to our C for cheery and what have you. And so they attune to you. And the more you can project your vibration and your love into her pain, her root cause, the more she will be able to shift her field. And that can and likely will have some effect on her physical health, because the body and the mind and the emotions are so connected that when one is out of accord, it can actually cause physical problems.
Okay.
And Veronica, you may have something else on that.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that one usually there's a tobacco, alcohol, and caffeine turn to sugar in the body. Mm-hmm. So tobacco, alcohol, and caffeine. When people give up one, they often turn to another. They all create sugar, which affects the pancreas. And the pancreas is often about people initiate turning to one of those three or four, you know, could be just sweets too, because they don't feel the joy and the sweetness, literally, the emotional sweetness of life. And they may be afraid of the future. Usually people that are hypoglycemic are afraid of the future, or people that are turning to these things much more than an occasional event. They are trying to create sweetness without really understanding it. But also, when you asked about some of the tools, there's a journey that I do, the Veil of Divine Love and Forgiveness, where you see this beautiful shower curtain of light as if it's source energy, the heart of the creator energy. And in your imagination, because you are interacting with your grandmother and she's given you basically permission to help her, you know, to offer your love in whatever ways you feel appropriate, where you can imagine, and again, you're not invading her space, it's impeccable integrity on every level, you can imagine her scooping out all the energy and all the grief and sorrow that she has carried from her first husband, and having on the other side of this veil, this beautiful veil of light, her first husband, so that all the energy that is his literally is scooped out of her, whether she took it on or it was given to her, consciously or unconsciously, and she pushes it back through the veil. What's his goes to him. It knows how to go home, but it gets cleansed and purified, so it gets brought to its highest level, and that goes back to his soul, whether he's still living or not. And if you imagine by the same token that he, any energy of hers that he's been carrying, that either she gave it to him or he took it or however, consciously or unconsciously, he scoops out all that energy and gives it back to her, and she receives her energy back, purified and whole. And when I do this process, you know, you're surrounded, if you want to imagine, guardians and angelics and masters. So they can assist you. You go back behind your energy field, below your feet, in your bones, in all your organs, tiny little subtle vibrations that you can give back through. It's like a cleansing process, a balancing of the souls. And because you have an interaction with your grandmother, it is literally affecting you in lineage vibrationally. So you do have the right to imagine, you know, you can't get in there and do surgery unless she's given you that specific permission. But with this kind of work, there's an offering of, you know what, wouldn't it be cool if, hey, you gave all the stuff back to him, he gave all the stuff back to you, all the vibrations are cleansed and purified and brought to their most true essence, like the tuning fork. And doing work like that, and even especially imagining any air that she has interchanged with this man back then has a vibrational imprint in her lungs. So you can imagine lifting that vibrational imprint as like a net maybe or a film out of her lungs. You can see her doing this and pushing it through the veil going, uh-uh. So not in my bubble anymore. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how that works out, because it's profound, it's so subtle, and out of such love, again, impeccable integrity. Never, you know, we can never invade people's free will, but because we interact, we can have an offering of, if this is in their highest good, then her soul will allow that to happen. It's like teaching a child how to write letters. You know, you can show them, and if they want to, they'll do it on their own. So if you hold the space of that offering, that tuning fork, if her soul is aligned with it, it would automatically happen.
That's also a very good example, Veronica. What you brought forth is a very good example of how to rewrite that script, how to change the Akashic record. That's a very good way to do that.
Yeah, it goes way deep. And usually people turn to those things because they want to speed up their vibration and run away from, you know, painful emotions. So these are ways to just unplug all the Velcroed, you know, stagnant and
stuck in there. Thank you, Veronica. Thank you, Josh, for sharing that.
Thank you very much. That was awesome. I really appreciate that.
Glad to be able to help you. All right. Well, we've got a couple here questions that are a little more for our walk-in call, but so many people, especially empaths, are sensitive not just to the energies on Earth, but to the energies around the Earth and in the cosmos. Many of us are sensitive to solar flares, and others are beginning to see UFOs and are beginning to interact with the galactic family. So the question that came in is, ET and the five senses, how does our awareness of the off planets, or what we call extraterrestrials, affect us, our bodies, our ability to see and hear? Are they projecting that ability to us, or are they awakening something in us? Good question, huh, Veronica?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yes, yes, yes. That's the answer.
It's both, huh? So
yeah,
they are awakening the divine human within us, the energy that they are putting out toward our planet and toward humanity and toward us, because they are our family of light. There is nothing to be afraid of with them. A lot of the fear that has been projected through movies and you know, Hollywood and the media, what have you, has not been favorable, and it's caused us to look with a little fear or trepidation toward seeing UFOs, like, you know, is something going to walk out of there and just start blasting us? Well, let me say yes, they are going to blast us. They're going to blast us with more love, with more light, with more remembering, with more knowing ourselves before we came here, awakening our divine human with the abilities to sense, to see, to hear, to interact on different planes and different realities, to be more aware of our multidimensional soul and its operation in other realms or octave vibrations. So it is both ways, like Veronica said, yes and yes. They are affecting us, and we are affecting them because it's a partnership, and it's a beautiful thing.
And I think it's important to always use discernment. There are many kinds of energies moving around our planet at this point, both from within, and we are moving to a new place in the universe as a solar system. So there's a level of discernment of checking to make sure that the energy feels right to you. It feels okay and safe and good. And then allowing the interchange or the experience. But there's also that as we open to our more and more, we have so many more senses than the five senses that we've been taught about. And as we embody, right? And as we embody our higher self and our other dimensional aspects, we find that it can be startling and it can be very disconcerting, and we can say, wait, that makes no sense to my mind. But to put the mind aside for a little while and to tune in, again, as the observer, discerning, does this feel okay to me or not okay, you know, setting your space, calling in only the highest masters of, you know, the heart of the creator energy pulse, you know, however you do that. But having that discernment, aligning, and then understanding that we are literally learning how to use, it's like learning a new dance, but with a new kind of body. It's like our senses are awakening, our other senses. So to just have a very soft view of that can help the transition from, you know, just these, you know, hearing and the very base senses to truly picking up vibrationally, being tweaked or you know, feeling a little flicker of something as a sense. You know, even if we can't see, hear, feel, smell, or touch it or taste it, it is a sense. So as we accelerate in our evolution, our senses, our other senses are awakening. And these ET beings, the ones we call ETs, are often helping us bridge up to those abilities.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. That's the awakening and remembering. I think a lot of empaths have been training for so long and feeling the energies and knowing what feels good and what doesn't and using our body as a sensory tool. It's going to be automatic. I mean, we've been working with earthbound souls and knowing when they're in the room with us, knowing when there's a presence, knowing whether it needs to stay or go, knowing if that's a grandma coming in with a sweet kiss on the cheek or if that's something that's coming in that's trying to, invade your happiness or whatever. So we have learned through our experiences how to know and discern when something is right for us and when it can be allowed to stay around us and when it's coming to help. Versus when it needs to just get the hell out of Dodge right now and don't come back. So it'll be the same lesson when we are working with our family of light or with these off planets who are helping us now in this. You'll feel. I think a lot of the, I would be more afraid of things that are already on the planet than I am of things that are coming on the planet.
Really, exactly.
We've got a government that's not working. We've got corporate greed and control and manipulation and all these things that are so yucky. I am welcoming any help that we can have from off planets who have come to assist us. So I am trusting my guidance and my ability to know and discern. Who I need to work with and who I don't. So don't let that arise any fear in you. You will know. You will know.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else, any questions that or comments about what we've already covered, or is there something new that you would like to bring up? We have a few minutes left.
There was a question in the notes that you sent earlier about how does an empath deal with the strong negative emotions that she knows on her own, in jealousy and selfishness. And how to let them go. And again, going back to that bubble thing, especially when we're going to be interacting with so many emotionally charged moments, in the coming few weeks, that bubble, and that veil of divine love and forgiveness can be huge, where you scoop out whatever where the energy as it's sitting there tightening your stomach, or if one is feeling defensive or angry or wanting to aggress. Scoop it out, just all day long, stop. It actually begins to dissipate the charge that has in your body, your psyche, your field, everything. So scooping it out of your bubble, through the veil of divine love and forgiveness or any other way, through the fire, however people do it. But, when the empath is picking up other people's intense energy, and right now a lot of that gets amplified during the season, that's just something that I just wanted to put out there to make sure that person got them. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I don't see anyone else's hand up. Let me check the Q&A one more time. Nope, I think we're good then. We're right at 3 o'clock, so.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
That was really fast. We just started.
This is great. So, Veronica, you've got any special announcements that you want to make? Any classes coming up?
We haven't scheduled and rescheduled the light leaders. They're going to be in January. We just haven't set the dates or the places yet. But the light leaders of the New Earth and the Love, Sex, and Divinity classes and the RX for Empaths, I'm probably going to do that. That was just a short four-hour class that helped a lot of people back last November. But so I don't have dates, but they will be on my site, quantumalchemyhealing.com. And right now I'm beginning packages, healing work with packages of 3 for $550 instead of $600. I'm teaching more tools in sessions besides just doing healing sessions. So there's some new beginnings that are happening, and it's exciting.
Yeah.
Great.
And Veronica is available at quantumalchemyhealing.com. So if you want to do some personal work with her or find out more about the classes that she's offering, we invite you to do that. And I am also available. So if you want to extend some of the conversation that we started today and you want to take it on a little more personal level and maybe have some energy work to go along with that, I do offer remote sessions as well as sessions in person. You'll find me online at weareoneinspirit.com.
Thank you all so much for being on the call today and for your participation. So good to hear from everyone. And thank you, Veronica, for being my delightful co-host for a year now. Can we believe it?
Oh, that's amazing. It's always an honor, sister. It really is always an honor. Thank you so much for everything.
Okay. Well, we will see everybody. I guess it'll be the new year before we have another impact call, so we'll see everyone in January. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, or whatever your terminology is for celebrating the bliss that is available to us year-round. We are one in spirit.